Aaron's. You don't think a dresser can stop him? Have you witches figured it out? Nothing. Nothing can keep me away.
What do we do? We're trapped.
What is going on, y'all? How are y'all doing today? I hope y'all had a good week. I hope y'all have been having a good new year so far. We're in February and my mind is 100% blown, but here we are. So if you followed me for any amount of time, you will know that last year, in 2022, I actually started a Charmed podcast called Rewitched. I loved doing that podcast. What ended up happening was I ended up having a lot of life changes happen at one time. I ended up moving, things like that. And I just didn't have time to devote to it like I wanted to. I love the concept that I did. Basically, the concept was me taking themes of Charmed and different elements of it, like villains, things like that, and reworking them, saying what I would have done differently, how I would have liked to see it play out. And I don't know. I was very on the fence about it because I felt like it was a good concept. I just did not have the time to devote to it what I felt like it needed to be devoted to. So I think that what I'm going to do is take that concept and incorporate it into a new podcast and a new idea. So hello again and welcome to our new and improved podcast, A Time for Everything. So that's the name of the podcast. So basically, this is going to be a rewatch podcast. Y'all are going to rewatch a show with me. We are going to go through the episodes. We're going to go through the themes. We're going to go through things that I liked about it, things I didn't, things I would change. And it's just kind of going to be like an opinion piece, essentially. But I've never done a rewatch podcast before. I've never done like something where I was sharing my thoughts on a consistent basis. You know, it's just kind of like random stuff here, random stuff there, whatnot. So we're here to change it. We're here to do something completely different this time. We are here to explore the series together so that we can go in chronological order, because I love me a good chronological order. And hopefully y'all like it as much as I do. I had so much fun watching the first episode again because I felt like it kind of reinvigorated that sense of whimsy I had when I watched the show. And it just felt good to kind of go back to the beginning and not feel like I'm just pulling stuff, you know, kind of from memory or whatnot. And I just felt really like I felt that love. I felt that spark. And that's part of what prompted me to do this and inspired me to do this updated podcast, was because I was like, well, you know, we do videos anyway on the channel. Might as well just make it a twofer. And, you know, that way everyone can enjoy. You can enjoy it if you have time to sit there and watch it. Or if you are on the go, busy, moving around. You know, you can play it on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. So, hopefully you enjoy. Hopefully this is something that interests you. If it is, please remember to hit like and subscribe so that you can stay updated for future podcast episodes. Okay, y'all, so let's get into the premiere episode of Charmed, Something Wicca This Way Comes. Y'all, I'm not going to give you a full summary of the episode, because I feel like if you're watching this, you've probably seen the show about a million times. You already know what happens in the episode, and I'm not going to play on your head like that. So for the people who maybe this is your first introduction to Charmed, or maybe you were introduced at a later point in the series and you haven't gotten around to rewatching it from the beginning, this is the very first episode of Charmed, and it starts us off with the main plot of the story, obviously, and we're introduced to the three Hallowell sisters, Prue, Piper, and Phoebe. The episode starts off with another witch being killed, and we're unraveling the mystery throughout the episode of what happened. The police come to her house. She has a triquetra tattoo. And, you know, we see that Andy, Prue's boyfriend, like her childhood love. He's a police officer, and he obviously knows a lot about the occult. throughout the episode, we are introduced to the sisters. We see their dynamic. We see that Prue and Phoebe really don't get along. Phoebe is coming home in, you know, the midst of everything. Like, there's this big storm and, you know, there's a serial killer on the loose. And here comes Phoebe. Phoebe's come home from New York after a not so successful run and moved back into their childhood home. Their grandmother passed away 6 months prior to the start of the series. You know, they just have them a little family reunion, and they have a spirit board, and the spirit board ends up leading Phoebe to go to the attic. So Phoebe goes to the attic, she says her spell, and they get their powers. From there, we find out that the person killing those women was Jeremy Piper's boyfriend, but he's not just a person, he's a warlock, and he is trying to kill them so that he can get their powers, because that is the aim of all warlocks. I know I said I wasn't gonna do like a full summary, and I just
no you lie,
and I essentially just did a full summary, but you get the gist of it. So this is the first episode we get to see them use the power of three, because the power of three is like their kind of ultimate defense. And this episode was so nostalgic. There was so much to it that I just absolutely loved. And when you go back and watch it, yeah, I think it was really well done. I think it was a very, very well done season premiere, especially for like the 90s, when, you know, people were kind of into like Wicca, supernatural, magic, you know, they were into that kind of stuff. And I think that for a show that was going to be centered around magic, they did a really good job of being character driven. The characters were really fleshed out, their relationships, all of that. And so I'm here for it. I loved it because I love a good story, and I love when a story is told correctly. So I am 100% here for it. Now, I just kind of want to give y'all a little bit of background on what Charmed means to me and why it's such an important part of my life. And if you follow me on like Twitter or something like that, you may have seen me talk about it before, but you know, when I was little, I didn't really have a whole bunch of friends. I didn't really, you know, whatnot. So for me, the way I would entertain myself when I wasn't with my family was watching TV or reading books or things like that. And so I remember I was 10. And the very first episode of Charmed, very first scene of Charmed that I ever saw was Prue's funeral. Prue's funeral and Phoebe getting the premonition of Shaq's attack and Paige. And I remember being like so enthralled, because I'm like, what just happened? Because, you know, I didn't know about premonitions and whatever else at that point, because my mama was watching it and she just kind of had it on. She wasn't like paying attention to it, but she was kind of telling me like, no, that's da 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 da, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so I got very, very involved very quickly. And fun fact, I remember seeing Grams when Piper was in the attic and she was trying to call Prue, but Grams came instead. I remember when she said, I need to talk to my sister. And when she said the spell and Graham showed up, I was like, oh my God, her sister is so old. And I felt horrible. Like, I felt horrible after the fact. Because I was like, and if, you know, because it's like, you can be younger and have a sister that's older. But for some reason, 10-year-old me was like, oh my God. Not knowing that was supposed to be her grandmother. You know, it's always held a special place in my heart since then. I became so connected to the characters and to who they were, how they interacted, how they loved each other, how they fought with each other. You know, there was something for everybody. And, you know, like I said, my first season of Charmed was season 4. And then I doubled back when they showed it on TNT. Y'all remember when they showed it on TNT? Back in the day. I'm talking about back in the day. Not because they still show it on TNT now. But I'm talking about back in the day. Like, you get out of school, you go turn TNT on, and Charmed is on. That was how I watched it back in the day. Now they show it at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I think till like 10 some days. It was like, some days I can get up and it's like still on. But anyway, back in the day, they showed it at like in the afternoons. And I think they showed it in the mornings and the afternoons. I don't remember. But because I remember watching it before school. And I remember, like, I just wanted to take it in. And, you know, I still remember when it came, when it was coming on WB, when WB still existed. I loved in season 5 when they switched over to Sunday, because they came on Thursday before, and then season 5 they switched to Sunday, and it was like the WB's big Sunday, and I just used to love hearing that. I used to love hearing a commercial for it. I used to love when they, you know, because you knew it was going to be a fun episode. The teasers would be so good. And I just, when I think of Charmed, I think of that time in my life. And I think of that time when I was trying to figure out who I was, who I want to be. I'm sorry, y'all. I could not resist. Y'all know I love me some Reba. If you follow me, you know I love me some Reba. So I didn't mean to do that. So I'm sorry. Let me slow down, because I feel like I'm talking very fast. So I apologize, y'all. It's not going to be like this every single episode. I promise. I love the show so much, and it is one of those shows that I think you can find something in, and I think that's why it's so relatable to so many people, and that's why so many people still gravitate towards it. I think it's going to be one of those shows that has a very long-lasting fandom. I think it's going to have a very long-lasting fandom. People are going to introduce their children to it. We're going to have little generations of Charmed ones running around, and it's... I just can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see the future. And I am see the future. And I'm so excited, because one day I want to go see the sisters in real life. I want to go see Shannon and Holly and Alyssa and Rose. And that's kind of my ultimate goal, is to be able to meet them, let them know what the show means to me. And they may be like, okay, but I don't feel like they are. I feel like they have such a respect for Charmed that they're probably going to really appreciate hearing that. Even if they don't remember my name specifically, I think the feeling will last with them. And that's all I want. That's all I'm asking for. It's just that one chance. And I'm going to get it if it is the last thing I do. Okay. So now, what I really want to talk to y'all about. Just this episode. I mean, let's just have a little talk about the episode. What it means and the themes that I feel like it establishes, because I think this episode did a really good job of setting up who the characters were going to be. I think that this episode did a really good job of showing us the roles that the sisters have taken, and so that way we can grow with them from there, if that makes any sense. Because I think that anytime you have a set of characters, you're going to expect growth. And I think that this show did a really good job in setting a precedence for who they were. You know, Prue is your hardworking older sister who's, you know, maybe a little too stern because she helped to raise them, essentially. And Piper is your sort of neurotic middle sister who's just wanting to be a normal person. She just wants to, you know, blend in. She does not want anything extraordinary happening in her life. And then you have Phoebe, who's just the carefree younger sister who, you know, jetted off to New York so she could create this new life for herself. And now she's back and she's just figuring it out day by day. And I absolutely love the way they set them up, because I feel like the characters, you can find something in the characters that you relate to. You can find something in the characters that, even if it doesn't remind you of yourself, it reminds you of somebody that you know. It reminds you of somebody that you're close to, that you love, and you can almost insert yourself into the episode in some shape, form, or fashion. And I think that this episode does a really good job of showing us the universe that we're about to be involved in. Now, do I think that the graphics of Jeremy's face give you a good idea? No, I do not. But just the fact that, like, this evil had this plan, like, it wasn't just like he attacked them, you know, it wasn't, okay, oh my god, no, there's a demon. No. He specifically came after them because, you know, Jeremy has been dating Piper ever since, you know, he met quote unquote her when Grams was in the hospital. And so, you know, he's known her, he's been around Prue, you know, all of that. And it is just so interesting to think that, like, he was Zanku and Cole, before Cole and Zanku existed, that he purposely got himself in a relationship, not even just like talking. He got himself into a relationship with one of the Charmed Ones because he knew who they were going to become. But let me also say this, because this was something that, like, in my mind, I kept thinking during the episode, but I was like, maybe I'm tripping. Do you know the guts that Jeremy had to have to not only get in bed with one of the Charmed, who he knew would become one of the Charmed Ones, which is kind of a different story because now I want to know how he knew, but we'll get back to that. We'll circle back to that. Not only get in bed with one of the Charmed Ones, but then wait until all three of them were together and had their powers to attack them. There are literally demons who knew that they were the Charmed Ones and were like, we need to be careful. We need to figure out how we're going to do this. We need to come up with a plan. And they strategically came at them. Jeremy was just like, listen, when all three of them get back together and they have the power of three and can now vanquish me probably very easily, that's when I'm going to attack. It was such a stupid plan. Like, when you really sit down and think about it, the plan did not make sense. Like, why would you wait until the sisters are together and have now established the power of three? Anyway, the point I was trying to make, the point I'm trying to make with that is that we start the series off with them being, like, methodically attacked. It's not just some random, the demon shows up in the house or is like taking witches out and he just so happens to be coming after them because he just found out they're witches. He was specifically attacking them. Now, the point I wanted to make earlier was how he knew they were going to be the Charmed Ones. I'm very interested to see what y'all think about that, because I've always teetered kind of between like evil should have known versus of course they would know. Because when Melinda was burned at the stake, you know, she made this big declaration that her descendants would culminate in the Charmed Ones. But then I'm like, well, how many demons had access to that information? I don't know. I'm on the fence. That's gonna be a separate, I think, like, thing that we talk about one day. Because I don't know. That doesn't, it makes sense. Like, I don't want y'all to think I'm saying it doesn't make sense, because I think it does, but I also think it kind of doesn't at the same time. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think that that is the result of one of Charm's biggest issues, their continuity, because they had some very interesting continuity. We'll leave it at that. But I think it just goes to show how important they are. Because on surface level, it's like, yeah, he's attacking them because they're witches. But I think the bigger picture is he was coming after them because he knew they were about to be witches. The other ones, you know, he was dating this, at least that one other woman. We know the one with the fire in her fingers that just looked a mess. We know that he at least had a friendly relationship with her, because she wasn't surprised to see him. Even though he snuck up in her house, but that's neither here nor there. And there was a method to it, but then at the same time with them, he very carefully crafted his relationship with Piper so that he could get close to them and be there when they got their powers. Like, the amount of waiting he had to have done to get that like, the patience that this man had, I'm not gonna say I was low-key rooting for him to win because of the patience he had. I'm just gonna say, had he won and had he actually been able to take at least one of them out, I would have said, okay. I would have said, okay. I understand. Y'all don't come at me. I don't want my girls gone. I do not want my girls gone. I do think it would have been interesting, and I'm on the fence about this because I don't think that they probably wanted to give this away too early if they actually had the concept together of the source, but it would have been interesting to be interesting to me if he had indicated at some point that he wanted to give him, quote unquote, like if he had said something about like, I'm going to give him your powers. And Piper would be like, what the hell are you talking about? And he's just like, no, don't you worry about it. You know, something like that. Because, you know, he had that little... But... But it would have been very interesting, I think. That I don't think that that was necessary, though. That I don't think that that was, like, a necessary change to the episode that would have made it better or worse. I just think... That's something that I personally would have been interested. Like, if they had done it, I would have been okay with it. But I don't think it would have, you know, added to the lore. Because I do think, like I said, I think the episode as a standalone episode was really good. And I think that the episode in relation to the show was really good. Like, the show as a whole. And y'all, so I started watching or listening to the House of Hallowell podcast that Holly Marie Combs, Ryan, Brian Krause, and Drew Fuller do. And y'all, it is so interesting hearing about the show from the perspective of someone who was there, because Holly was there from literally the pilot, like not even just episode one. She was there from the pilot and she was the only person who was. And I just find that so interesting to see, like, the things that she remembers about it, the things that she recalled. She said at one point that they originally wanted her to play Phoebe and Shannon to play Piper. I can't even imagine what the show would have been like if they had played those characters, because I think they embodied their own roles so well. It was just like, oh my god. And so I couldn't imagine them being somebody else. And she was also saying that, like, you know, they had always been made to play much younger because that's just what people, you know, in the industry did, because they were trying to save money. And so it was really interesting to hear her perspective that they were excited to play older characters, because I forget sometimes Prue was pushing 30. Prue was like 20. I think Prue was 28. I think Prue was supposed to be 28 and Piper was like 26 or something like that. And it's so interesting to me, because it's like, to me, they're not old, but to them, this was a chance to play like an older character. They weren't playing a teenager. They weren't playing someone who was getting into it with their high school rival over their boyfriend. And so from that perspective, it's like, these actresses were, from their point of view, seemingly entering into a new point in their career. And so it's just so interesting to hear that perspective and think about it like that. So if y'all haven't listened to the House of Hallowell podcast, please go listen to it. You will not regret it. I think it is so worth it, because if you love the show, part of the reason that I was very on the fence about doing this podcast was because I feel like there are a million rewatch podcasts. I feel like you can click anywhere and you can find a rewatch podcast, but there isn't a rewatch podcast that has my perspective. So I'm going to give my perspective on it. And that's how I'm looking at it, is, you know, yes, there are a lot of rewatch podcasts, and you may or may not find an incentive to watch mine. You may or may not agree with it, but I have to put it out there. I have to put my perspective out there. And if I'm going to rewatch the show, I might as well share it with y'all, right? I mean, that's what we do. We share. We share our thoughts. We share our opinions. We like, that's the point of the show. That's what it does, is it brings people together. So, in that regard, I do not in any shape, form, or fashion regret starting this. And I hope y'all like it. Y'all, I wrote down a list of things, because when I tell you I was watching that episode and there were so many things that tickled me. I was tickled. So first off, not tickled. Okay, so there are some things that I was tickled by and then other things I was more curious about. So the first thing I wanted to know, the witch at the beginning that was chanting, I was very interested to know, like, what she was doing, because the words almost seem like a protection thing. And so I wanted to know, like, was she protecting herself? Was she, like, part of... This is... Okay. So this was my headcanon, right? Is that there were a group of witches who were completely of their own volition casting, like, a protection spell over the charmed ones. That's my headcanon. That is my headcanon. And she was one of those witches. I don't know why, but that was just something that came to my mind. Was what if... Because obviously, you know, the charmed ones didn't have their powers. So, you know, they were safe as long as they didn't have them. But what if there were... witches, they don't have to be like a group, like in an organized group, but what if there were witches who were casting a spell or casting spells and enchantments to protect the charmed ones on their journey to becoming the charmed ones? So, like, if they weren't already witches, this was something that was helping to, like, protect them and put a veil over them. I don't know. Would the show have done that? Probably not. In my head canon, is that what happened? Yes. So, stick with me. I think it's also interesting in the beginning, like, how scared Piper was of Prue. Like, Piper said, listen, if you think I was going to tell her that you were coming back and she changed the locks, no ma'am. She said, no ma'am, I'd rather get up in this house. And it's so funny because, like, you can tell that Piper was not, you could tell she did not want to cross Prue, like, whatever else she did, because she was like, yeah, I've been talking to Phoebe, maybe, like, a day or a month or whatever, however she phrased it, and it was like, girl, come on now. But Prue was kind of intimidating, and I think in their dynamic, you could tell Prue was definitely the more dominant one. And it's so interesting when Phoebe gets back, and it's such an interesting, like, juxtaposition, because when Phoebe gets back, she's like, no ma'am, listen, we are not doing this. She was like, you may scare her, but you're not scaring me. And when they were having a little, not confrontation, but you know what I'm trying to say, and Prue was like, you know I'm still angry with you. And Phoebe was like, and now mind you, she just started it, she's like, you know I'm angry with you. And then Phoebe is like, I never touched Roger. And Prue is like, whoa, no, don't whoa now, you done got it started, so let's go, let's party. And I don't know why that was so interesting to me, because Phoebe was not backing down. Phoebe said, no ma'am, we finna get straight to it. You want to get to it? Let's go. I'm ready. Let's box it out. It was so funny. Like, it was so funny. The moment was funny, but then when you think about, like, what that means for the show overall, Piper, you can tell Piper is going to default to Prue. You can tell Piper is going to default to Prue. But Phoebe, no ma'am. Phoebe is going to do her own thing. She is not going to sit here and play with y'all like that. She's not going to sit here and take Prue's crap. She said, baby, I'm coming. I'm here. Okay? You may be here, but I'm here too. Plain and simple. Plain Jane. And then Prue was like, I don't remember what she said though. And she was like, that girl, when she was talking about Phoebe. And I'm like, not that girl. It was like a black mama thing to say, to be like, that girl is going to get in some trouble. And I'm like, not that girl. Like, she don't have a name. You know what else hit me this episode? Daryl was really an original character. Like, Daryl wasn't like the partner that got introduced in season 2 after Andy died, or like at the end of season 1 so that he could be established for season 2. No, Daryl was there from the very first episode. And he was black. Blizz blackety black. Like, he was talking like, he almost told Andy, like, listen, I need you to hurry this up because I'm trying to get to the Soul Train Awards. Like, when I tell you, Daryl was black, okay? Oh, the man was so fine, y'all. Oh, my God, the man looked so good. And his hair, and then he just, the lip, oh, my God. Okay, let me bring it back. You know, and the way they did him toward the end of the show, I'm just gonna hush. Bring it back to the first episode. Jeremy was fine. And I never realized how fine Jeremy was. The jaw and then the chest and them. Let me hush because I don't need y'all judging me, but Jeremy was And then the room that Phoebe was in, that would be like Piper and Phoebe and Wyatt and Chris and Paige and Billy's room. That room was huge in that episode. Like, that room looked like that. I don't know if that was the set. I think it was the set. I don't think that was like the house, but that room was ginormous compared to what it would be later on. Like, when Prue came in to bring that blanket, like, Phoebe was on the other side of the house, just about. Like, that's how big the room was. And Prue was so mean. Prue knocked on the door and was like, I brought you this blanket. I don't know why I make Prue sound like Batman. Like, I am the knight. I don't know why I make her sound like that. I need to stop. And then, okay, so I'm just gonna skip past some stuff because it's like, there's no point. But like, after, okay, so once Phoebe gets up to the attic, my thing was, how did she cast that spell? I have never understood how Phoebe was able to cast that spell. I know it was like, okay, let me talk this through, y'all. So I'm assuming that when Grams died, their powers were unbound, but they didn't have access to like their active powers, because if she wasn't a witch, she wouldn't have been able to cast the spell. Like, if she didn't have magical ability, she wouldn't have been able to cast the spell, from my understanding. So I just always assumed like their inactive powers got unbound first, and then they were able to unbind their active one. I don't know, because then that also made me wonder about the spell that was in the book, because why did they need a specific spell to invoke the power of three? Because we knew they could use it, because when Patty was pregnant with Phoebe, she was able to channel the power of three. So my question is, what was the point of the spell? But at the same time, I understand what the point of the spell was, so I'm not gonna go too deep into that, but I would love to hear y'all's thoughts about that. When they got their powers, if you have been following me on social media for any amount of time, you know I love to say that Prue had a bloodlust, because she did. She was taking people out. Now, it was for a reason, but she took half of San Francisco out, and no one can change my mind about that. I'm joking. But it's interesting because she almost took Roger out, and her power is the most interesting to me, because she channeled it through her hand, even though it was unintentionally. Like, when she did her hands like this, and if you're listening to it, you know, when she squeezed her hands, that's when it almost killed Roger. I just don't understand how she was able to do that. I don't know. I think I'm thinking a little too hard on that, because I was like, why are we channeling magic through our hands already for her? I don't know. But I mean, for the nuance of the show and the episode, it made sense. Like, you know, they're showing us she can do things without. But then what she did was kind of like a version of what Max's power was, where he could do things without, you know, looking at it. I don't know. I'm just going to take it, because it was a good moment. She almost took the man out. Roger was almost her first victim, confirmed. So Roger was almost my girl's first victim. Goodness. But you know what? Another thing I realized was, I think Piper drove to her interview with Chef Moore. Why did she have to take a cab with Jeremy later on? If she had to, okay, so where was her car? Because I don't understand. Like, where was my good sister's car at? She drove there and then was like, you know what? I'm not gonna waste my gas. Let me just leave it here. I'll come back and get it tomorrow. Ma'am, go get your car. Go get your car. And then, you know what's very interesting to me is the fact that Piper was the first one we see on the show go up against a demon. I don't know why that's such an interesting fact to me. And when I say go up against, obviously she didn't, you know, she wasn't trying to vanquish him, but the fact that she was the first one on the show that got attacked by a demon. She was the first one to knock a demon out, even though I'm not quite clear how you can knock a warlock out, because warlocks were rough back in the day. Before they got the concept of what a warlock was, baby, you could, they were basically just humans. They were just basically humans with a little aftermath. That was it. That was the only distinguishing feature, because because my goodness gracious, and when she hit him with that little wooden thing, I'm like, that's it? That's all it take? The warlocks back in the cut would not have made it against season 3 or season 4 Charmed ones. They wouldn't have. Like, they couldn't even have walked in the room, because they would have just gotten vanquished. I don't know why that's so funny to me. And then his face distortion thing, God bless it. But yeah, Piper was the first one to go up against the demon. I don't know why, but that, I think because she's so far removed in the episode from even wanting to be a witch, and yet she's the very first one to go up against the demon. I don't know. It's so interesting to me. And the other thing about that, if you're the very first one that gets attacked by a demon, I completely get why Piper didn't want to be a witch after that. She's like, baby, listen, I don't even know what happened with this man stopping in his tracks. And now you're telling me people trying to attack me, people I love trying to attack me? No, ma'am. I completely understand why Piper didn't want to be a witch. This episode made me see that in a completely different light. Piper said, listen, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Y'all have it. I'm out. See you later. So I understand why she did what she did. Phoebe and Prue were having too much fun in that store for me. When I tell you, when Prue knocked all that stuff down, they were giggling and laughing, and I was like, all right, Miss Mamas, we about to get exposed, ain't it? So bring it back. And then y'all, I'm gonna make this one last observation, and I'm gonna let y'all go. Jeremy not being able to blink and having to run from one side of San Francisco to the other is probably one of the most hilarious parts of that episode when you really sit down and think about it. Like, you know, later on, everyone can orb or teleport or even astral project. Like, you can get where you need to be in a specific amount of time. But the fact that Jeremy was like, let me hoof it in my Air Force Ones to the other side of San Fran tickles me to no end. That's what I mean when I say, like, the demons that were attacking them in the beginning, they were in the trenches. They couldn't teleport. If you can't walk, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going to be attacking the Charmed Ones, not on today. I love it. It's just that nostalgia. It's so fun. So y'all, thank you for coming on this journey with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. However you are consuming this certain piece of media, I appreciate you just for taking the time out. You can find me anywhere. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me essentially anywhere under They Call Me Mr. G. You can even find me on YouTube under They Call Me Mr. G. So hopefully you stop by and join the family. I'm still trying to come up with a name for, like, our family, because I did a video one day and I think I'm going to go back to it and I'm going to actually talk about it, because I never did what our family name is going to be. So be on the lookout for that. You can listen to this podcast on the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on the Anchor app, and essentially anywhere. I think I said Spotify. And essentially anywhere that you get your podcast at, you can find this. I think even on Amazon Prime Podcast, like, you can find me. You can find me. So be on the lookout. Keep your eyes open. Thank you so much for giving me the space and the opportunity to talk about this show that I love so much and share it with you. And hopefully you find something good to laugh about in this video or this podcast, however you're listening to it. Let me know. Find me on my socials. Hit me up. Tweet at me. Whatever you got to do. Just let me know what you think of it. Oh my God, I hit my table. But let me know what you think of it. If you are watching this on YouTube, comment below. If you follow me on socials and you're listening to it, let me know what you think. So, all right, y'all. I will talk to you later, and y'all have a great night. Bye.